I can't remember what the last thing was that we said in a podcast. I can't remember. I feel like we promised all sorts of things, but it's been so long and so much has happened that now I don't know what I'm apologising for. I'm very sorry. There's loads of stuff we said we were
really
going to do.
Sorry.
Yeah, very sorry and very busy. So there are many reasons why we're here today to recording this episode to update you on things. One of them is just to let you know what's been going on and see how you are and just generally chit-chat. But also we've got some exciting things. Towards the end, I'm going to tell you some things that I learned while on the BBC Radio Drama Company. I've made a little list. Things that I learned that would be useful for anybody who does any radio drama.
Leah's list.
Yes, who saw that coming? And we've got a thing to tell you about, and we've got another thing to tell you about. What? I've written a list of things to say. Would you like to say something? No, you say something first. Nick, how have you been?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, very busy, which is great. I've been a bit jet-setty. Been jet-setting.
Oh, yes. List all the countries you've been to.
I've been to Norway, Geneva.
Yes.
That's not a country, but you know what I mean? No, it is, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know if Geneva's a country.
Geneva's in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Oh, God.
And
but not on
I've
holiday.
I've been to Rotterdam. No, for work.
Work. Yeah, to describe the sort of work you've been doing.
So
do an impression of Nick jet setting in front of people.
Oh, God, why do I have to drink all of my water before I go through security? This is ridiculous. I have my passport? Let me check my bag 87 times in a row.
That's not what I meant.
Oh, okay.
I meant do an impression of Nick in front of people running the things that you've been running in the places.
Oh, right.
Hello. So is it different?
Not really, no.
Oh.
What's cool, in the sense that a lot of the people are like big fancy people.
Oh.
Who like own big companies and stuff, which is really funny when I rock in going, just do this with your tongue. Blah, 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 blah.
Do they do it when you're voice coaching these big important people?
Yeah, but I do have to be like, by the way, that's this muscle, or
oh yeah.
P.S. I've got a degree. Do you know what I have to be a bit more like, hey, man in a suit, trust me, because I'm dead intelligent and stuff, even though I'm a bit of an idiot. And then usually by the end I've won them over and they're like, hey, Missy, I wasn't quite sure about you at the start, but you know what? You're not too bad.
Great. Oh, congratulations. That's an amazing skill. You have to do it, don't you, with different people, do things differently.
Somebody in one of them was literally like, these are usually really boring kinds of trainings, but I've had a really good time at this
amazing
one. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
Great. So it's still a lot about communication and like finding your voice and presentation skills on and off.
Now describe how you voice coach me, because I'm tricky to voice coach, it turns out. Like, because we're friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we both sometimes feel like we have to justify, we yes-but everything. So, like, we justify. So if I say to you, do it this way, or try this, you'll be like, ah, yes, but the reason I was doing it the other way was because
such a
thing.
Oh, God, I'm terrible. I'm the worst people.
And I do the same.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. Like, and it's a different dynamic, isn't it? It's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like when we're in the kitchen. Oh, you're cutting
it
like that.
Cut it.
Well, so I usually cut it this way, but if you want to do it that way, that's fine. And you're like, no, I'll do it this way. And I'm like, okay.
I was with one other friend, Stoffer, the other day, and he was cutting up some mango, and I was like literally over his shoulder, like, And he like turned to me, was like centimeters away from his face. He turned to me and was like, would you like to do it? And I said, yes. Yes, I would. Thank you. Oh, God. He was basically like using, he was sort of scraping it. Anyway, never mind. It was the wrong way to cut a mango. Oh, dear.
Wrong way to cut a mango. That will be the name of your autobiography.
Yeah. I've been very busy as well. We've been very busy. So the things I've been doing has mostly been acting stuff. So as you know, I won the Norman Beaton Fellowship, and that meant I spent 5 months working as an actor on the BBC Radio Drama Company. And then I was on The Archers, which if you're outside of the UK won't mean a single thing to you. But if you're inside the UK, is like the thing that I needed to happen, so that if anybody asks me what I did, I'd be like, well, put on the arches, and then I win
Clang.
The conversation.
Yeah. She is
so that
worthy.
Was really exciting.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. The whole thing was brilliant. And as I mentioned, I wrote a big spreadsheet of all the things I'd learned, because I felt like an idiot at the start and I didn't feel like an idiot by the end. So some of the things that I've learned along the way might be useful for other people as well. And I've also been doing lots of stuff with theatre in Greater Manchester. So I was in a thing called The Departure recently, which was just a collection of short new writing, and I played three different characters and it was all really exciting. I just had a lovely time. So that's what's been going on mostly with me at the moment, is acting things. Oh, and I wrote a radio drama, and the radio drama, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with it, but there is an independent production company that supplies to Radio 4 that is currently interested in pitching it in the new commissioning round in
that's
the new year,
so
we'll
exciting.
Have to see. Even if it doesn't come to anything, like, just having a thing that you're all sort of thrilled about when you think about it, that's
yeah.
pretty cool. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
something it's really to fun. Look forward to, isn't it?
It is. So there are two things we need to tell you. Yes, two things. So the first thing is there are some very, very big changes afoot. And I don't mean the sort of things that we trailed God knows when the last episode was, where we say that something's going to happen and then it never transpires. This has already been organised. And we are going to be announcing this huge development at 3 p.m. on the 16th of December. So if you're at the VO Social Christmas party, which is where it's happening, then you'll find out then. But if you're not going to be there, and you're not in Manchester on that day, then we will be live streaming this massive announcement on our socials.
We will.
So what is it going to be? Twitter and Facebook?
Yep. Should we put a link to that in the
yes.
show notes?
Put link... into notes of it's on the list. Great. Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting to find out about, and it will be available like on Twitter and Facebook afterwards for you to watch back if you don't actually catch it at 3 p.m. GMT, but if you would like to be the first to know, that's how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that we are running a planning workshop, a planning
Woo-hoo!
Masterclass, woo, which we're not going to be doing again for a very, 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 very long time. So if you would like to make sure that you're like bounding into 2024 with all of the energy and all of the plans and all of the motivation that you deserve.
And I don't want to be like, it's a great workshop, because it is a great workshop. But I also don't want to be like, we've done this for Gravy for the Brain, we've done this at the One Voice Conference, we've done this on Broadway. I mean, this
we
is
have
a...
done, we went to New York to run this workshop. Like,
yeah.
It is a genuinely
it's
brilliant
really
one.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to say that, but...
You know, no. I mean, I definitely think that you should. You say it, go on.
We said it. We've done this workshop on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Actual
yeah, yeah.
Broadway.
It's always very well received, and it is... always found people find it to be genuinely useful. Even people who, there was one person that said that they have ADHD and they find it really hard to concentrate, but even a person who is like managing all of that still came out of it with like a plan.
I think it's definitely it's for you if you want to know what you want to achieve next year.
Uh-huh.
You want a bit of clarity on the steps of how to achieve that, and you want to hook up with somebody who will help keep you accountable, basically. It's not for you if you just want to see what happens next year and go with the flow.
No.
So that's up to you, like whichever one of those you are. It's for you if you want to have a bit of the old crack.
Yes.
It's not for you if you hate laughing and fun.
Yeah, right. If you'd rather have your head in a bin, then pick that.
It's not for you.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have your head in a bin, then it's definitely for you.
Great. Great. Yes. And I'm going to set up a discount code before we publish this episode, which is going to be PLOG, P-L-O-G, 5, the number 5, P-L-O-G, 5. So if you would like to get £5 off your ticket, then...
And that's
that.
A real, like... That's a real like nostalgic callback plug,
I know,
isn't it?
No, yeah.
Aww.
You'll have to listen. If you haven't listened already to all of the episodes, you'll have to do that now.
Every single one to find out what we mean by clog.
Great. Excellent.
All of the episodes. Yeah. Have a good week.
Was that it? Those are the two things. So make sure that you're listening in at 3 p.m. on the 16th of December on our socials for our massive announcement. Book the workshop, because the chances of us doing another one for a very long time is extremely slender. And then finally, yeah, so here we are. In the things I've learned column, In the spreadsheet that is entitled The List. Right, I'm just gonna read you the things. Are you ready?
It's theme, own shame thing. The list, the list. Here comes the list. The list, list.
That was so beautiful.
I am available for all your sound production.
Excellent. Well, you're hired. The first one I've got here. So this is what I learned when working on a play called Borstal Boy. If they say be loud because the scene is set in a noisy pub, then be loud. Mm. So this is one of the earlier ones I recorded, and I just somehow wasn't absorbing the instruction to be loud. They had to get me to do it like several times, and I left that studio just like, Oh God, what have I done? I've ruined everything. Just because I didn't listen properly to what they said, absorb it and then do it. And for like, there were no other, as far as I remember, there were no other incidences of that happening during my time on the rep, as it's called. But yeah, that really stayed with me. Just be loud. Just do the thing they say. If you then take it too far and you're louder than they want you to be, that's okay. At least you followed the instruction. They can bring you back down again. All fine.
It's someone definitely said to me once, it's easier to bring you back than it is to keep pushing you. So like,
give more.
And didn't Dave Peacock in our animation episode say, yes, faster and louder?
Yeah. And actually, that's so true. And as a listener to radio drama, I'm not going to say which one, but I was listening to a radio drama today, and one of the actors should have been such a spiky, miserable, angry character, and I didn't believe any of it. There was so little commitment and so little rage. And also, here's a thing, this isn't something I learned while being on the radio drama company, so I'm going a little bit off piste, but there's a thing that some actors do which drives me absolutely mental as a listener, which is softening the word at the end of the line, like pulling back and not carrying the energy all the way through to the end. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a bad microphone technique, like a fear of pushing too hard into the microphone. I don't know if it's wanting to sound like you've got a great voice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
can you do an example?
Maybe I need an example. I'm trying to think of a sentence. No, I don't know if I can. All I've got here.
Why don't you say, but mother, I didn't know you were going to be here at this party.
But mother, I didn't know you were going to be here at this party. No, I'm not doing a good job. I can't do it. I'm going to delete that. I don't think I can replicate it. Maybe I don't want to replicate it. Maybe that's it. But I don't think I can. But if you listen out for it, I think you'll hear it in some performances where there's just like this softening of the delivery on the final word, maybe at the end of the line, and I find it so off-putting. That's not on the list. That's not highlighted in red. The next thing I've got here,
niggles.
One of my niggles. What does it say? Really work out how to directly express the character notes with the words you've got. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. So if you're playing a smaller role, not like a main lead role in a radio drama, and you've only got a few lines and you've only got maybe like a couple of character notes from the director beforehand, then really have a think about how to express that in the way that you're going to deliver the words. Like, it's so easy just to rattle stuff off without giving it any thought. But the thing that is going to differentiate a great performance from an acceptable performance is if you're really bringing it, you're really bringing thought and depth and character ideas to what you're giving the director. And again, if you've gone like far, far wrong, which I did do a couple of times because I gave it some serious thought and I came in with the character ideas and I hadn't practiced it so far, so much that I couldn't change what I was doing, but I'd practiced it enough that I was confident that it was kind of a rounded performance. I can't remember how I started that sentence, so now I can't remember how to finish it.
So you were saying about how
bring the idea that you've developed from really thinking about what the character has going for it from the script that you've got, and then again, if it's too much or if it's wrong, then the director will just say, okay, thanks, we've got that take, that's great, now let's try it like this, and then just follow the instructions.
So do you mean like, you know, when you get a breakdown for a character and they're like, they are forward thinking and energetic and feisty, and then you get the line and it's, gosh, I just don't know what to do today.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, gosh, I just don't know what to do today. Because that doesn't portray the character notes. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. That is partly what I mean, yeah, and also what you can glean from what the character says, you know, and what the character say about them, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's what that means. Oh, I don't need that list. I need this list. Okay, also another thing that I learned, which I'm not going to be able to demonstrate now because I'm wearing slippers, but radio walking, some people will already know this, but I didn't know this, is you have to walk in a special way that really identifies the fact that you are walking with your feet, and it's heel-toe on your right foot, heel-toe on your left foot, heel-toe, heel-toe, heel-toe. So you can't just put your feet flat down on the surface, you have to heel-toe it so that you actually hear that the foot is walking along the ground.
My favourite thing about that was that you said people need to know that you're walking with your feet.
Did I? Yeah, no, that is very important. Yep.
That makes sense, though. They need to hear the...
Yeah. Even if that's not how you might naturally walk anyway, it makes sense to the brain when it hears it.
Hmm.
So this is going to go on for quite some time, so buckle in, chaps. One of the things that I did was also, I did a Sunday feature which involved playing a real person. So like it was a reading from a book that involved interviews with this real person, and she was American. And it was like, oh God, it was so many pages. It was like 10 pages in this in American accent, which I'm confident in a standard American accent, but not really in any others. And then when I listened to the extremely short, like 70-year-old clip of this woman, maybe even closer to 100-year-old clip of audio clip of this woman talking, she had features in her accent that I identified as Southern. Like they were clearly audible to me. So I went away and I practiced these 10 pages of like monologue with a Southern American element to the accent. And I had to work a lot harder because it isn't something that I've already spent a lot of time on. And then I got into the session with my script all like thoroughly marked up, so I didn't screw up, I didn't miss an opportunity to make the vowel sound right or emphasize where it needed to be emphasized. And I did a couple of lines and she's like, oh no, she's from New York, so she won't sound as Southern as that. And I had to bin my script, deprogram my brain. It was so hard. And I spoke to what's her name, Rebecca Gosnell, who we had on the show talking about the standard American accent, about that, and she said American accents change. The chances are she was from New York and she did have elements of what we now know as a Southern American accent in her accent. So the solution to all of this is talk to the producer in advance before you start doing absolutely loads of work on an accent to make sure that you're doing the accent that you're doing is the one that she wants or he wants.
That's so important. Ask the questions. I think sometimes people get scared to ask questions, but actually asking questions shows that you're thinking about it and that you want to get it right and do the job well.
Yeah, exactly that. One of the things I ended up doing quite a lot of was victim testimonies on Woman's Hour, which was amazing because these are transcripts and different producers work with transcripts in different ways. Some of them will just give you some very general notes on what the person's attitude was like and maybe just where she cries or where she doesn't or just like a few tiny little notes here and there, and some will have marked up the entire script, where the emphasis was, how long the pauses were for, just every single thing will have to be absolutely matching the original testimony. And so I guess you'll just find out, depending on who you work with, what they want. But the note that I've actually got here, which is not entirely about that, is take the time that you need to get in the zone if it's going to be like an intensely emotional reading. So if there is a bit where somebody cries, I think probably most of us are quite good at like adding an element of upset to our voice. But when it comes to like believable, audible crying or choking up or like a break in your voice and all that sort of thing, like making it so that it doesn't sound like just like whining a little bit, like or whatever it might be, or breathing a bit more than you might normally. If you want it to be believable, then take a minute. And that's okay to say to a producer, I'm just going to take a minute if that's okay and get this right. That's what I learned because
it's respectful as well if it's verbatim.
Yeah, exactly. Not just rattling through someone's trauma. Oh, that's not what I wanted to press. Go away. No. Oh. Why is this happening? Oh, there it is. So I also worked on Anna Karenina briefly. It was only in like one or two scenes. And what I've written here is if there's a mic in the room, don't kick it.
Oh, interesting. That's a bit out there.
I know. I'm just crazy like that. But even if it's not live, assume that all mics are live. And if there's, because sometimes the stands come out quite far and you might not notice where your feet are going. So don't kick it, because that can really mess up a scene and you have to redo the whole thing. Also, what I learned. I don't know if I should say that one. Maybe, okay, I'm going to say it, but I'm not sure if this was just in my head or if this is something that was actually true. But what I've written here is, if the writer is there, the team don't need suggestions from actors on meaning, even if it's a famous actor. This maybe was just how I felt about it, but I think there was someone in the room who came up with an idea about what a part of the script might mean, and it felt to me as though the fact the writer of the person who'd written the script for the radio drama was there, and she's amazing. Like, her scripts are like scores for the actor. It was beautiful to look at, and it felt like overstepping the mark as an actor to say, I think this is what it means. So yeah,
that's interesting, because you'd think it would be okay to suggest that to find clarity, even not because you're saying it should be this, or actually I think it's that. Maybe it's just.
Maybe that's why I don't like, I'm not enjoying saying this out loud, is because I think perhaps it was just my feelings that, like, might maybe my feelings of not wanting to overstep the mark that
perhaps it's
that.
Just a point about reading the room.
Yeah.
And just being respectful for everyone in there. There's always a respectful way and a disrespectful way to ask about a note or a direction or a feeling or something. Maybe it's just about not being a prick.
Maybe it's about just not being a prick. Yeah, I think you're right. That's it. That's what I should have just written in red on my spreadsheet. Just try.
Don't be a prick. Don't kick the microphone.
Yeah.
Be
loud.
Those
are the two main ones.
Yeah.
This is something that didn't happen to me, but it did happen to somebody else, which is that someone thought that they were done for the day. Because what happens in radio drama is, like, you probably already know this, but I'll just tell you anyway. So there'll be 2 days, and potentially probably 2 days, and there'll be a read through at the first thing on the first day, and then the scenes will all be mangled up, so because various people aren't able to be there at various times. So we'll do scenes 2 through to 10 first of all, and then we'll do scene 1, and then we'll do scene 35 to 45. Like, do you know what I mean? It mixes up across the next 2 days, so that day and then the next day. And when you're done, when you've done all your scenes, you can just go, and it feels a bit like a bit of a deflating end to a very exciting time, just to be like, right then, bye. But that is kind of just how it ends up being, because there isn't like a, nobody finishes at the same time. Nobody. There'll be like one maybe lead who's doing close mic narration throughout, and their narration will all be kept to the end, because then everyone else can just go before then. And the producer and the production coordinator and the sound engineer, they'll all finish at the same time, but everybody else will just go when they're done. But what can happen is you could accidentally go before you're done and end up halfway across London or wherever, and suddenly get a phone call from a panicked production coordinator going, oh God, we're going to have to rewrite the entire schedule because you left without saying goodbye or checking that you could leave. So yeah, that can happen, and it does happen. And it wasn't me that it happened to. And the person that happened to was an amazingly talented person, would never normally do such a thing, but just something went wrong. So just check. Always check with the producer or the production coordinator before you leave. As standard. Never leave without checking first. Don't just go. Something I learned that I did, which is bad, is a bad habit that I have, which is breathing in at the end of my final line and then holding it. Not letting the natural breath happen, because I was maybe tense in a scene and like, oh God, I'm doing the thing that I really like and I don't want to ruin it and I don't want to make a mistake, so I'll do a good job of delivering this line and then I'll breathe in and then I'll just hold on until the next line. So it turns out I do that sometimes, so I need to work on that, and also nobody else should do that, so that's why I'm mentioning it in case you do. And then listening to the other actor is so good. Such a great idea. Everyone should do that.
Right.
Because I think it could be, especially because you're looking down at a script, it can be easy to get really absorbed in just what you're doing. But just like on screen acting, just like anywhere else, if you're fully paying attention to what's in the room with you and who's in the room with you and what they're saying and what they're trying to get you to understand, then that's going to end up being a much, 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 much better performance, and it's going to feel much better for all the actors involved.
That's a really good point. It's probably, it's probably easy to get caught up looking at your lines and not listening.
Yeah.
Or looking for when you're speaking next.
Yeah, scrolling up ahead. Oh, is that the end one? I thought there was another one. Oh, yeah. I know what it was. It was not just looking at the other actors in the studio, but also looking at the other actors in the read-through. Because I think that, because you get such a short amount of time to work on a radio drama. So short. And everybody meets for the first time on the first day, pretty much. And then suddenly you're doing the read-through, and then suddenly you're doing the scenes. You may not see the other people for the rest of the day. And so that read-through is an amazing opportunity to try and, with the very small amount of time that you've got, like, build the relationship of the ensemble. So look at people. Look at people when you're talking to them. That's what, and when they're talking to you, and when they're not, just have a look around. That's what I found.
Nice. That's already useful. Yeah.
Those are all the things. Yeah. Is there anything else that we wanted to say?
I don't think so.
Are you going to go and have a little nap?
Yeah, getting really late last night.
What did you do last night?
Well, I got back from London at like 12:30.
Oh, yeah, because you were gallivanting.
I was gallivanting again. I was being in my husband's radio show.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is great.
I was production coordinating a comedy series for Radio 4 last night. So I also got back really late. It's very exciting. It's very exciting, all this business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great fun. No, I can't have a nap, Leah. I have about 4,000 things to do.
Right, go on then.
What, tell you what they all are?
No, go and do them.
Number one.
No. No, but this. Oh, I'm sad. I just don't want to leave. This is the end of our update episode. But it I'm going to leave, and so are you.
Okay.
And I'm going to go and edit this and publish it. Well,
Stay hydrated, folks. What?
I've been Leah Marks.
And I've been Nick Redman.
And we are
the Voiceover Social. Together till the end of the road. Together till the end of the road.